nearly two-thirds of online gamers in America say they've experienced severe harassment while playing games online, including threats of physical violence and stalking. In addition, many say they've been targeted based on things like their race, gender, faith, or sexual orientation. Those are a few of the takeaways from a new report out this month from the Anti-Defamation League, which looks at how digital spaces are being used and misused and the consequences online of hate and harassment. Daniel Kelly joins us now. He's the Associate Director of the Center for Technology and Society at the Anti-Defamation League. Daniel, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Video gaming is a hugely popular form of entertainment these days, and tons of games have an online component, putting more gamers than ever in touch with people from around the country and around the world. Unfortunately, as you find in the report, that comes with some pretty significant drawbacks. Can you break down the major findings for us?
Sure. So as you said, 65% of Americans, so the survey is American adults, 18 to 45, who play multiplayer games online. And what we found was 65% of players experience severe harassment, 74% experience harassment of some kind. And when we talk about severe harassment, we're talking about stalking, physical threats, doxing, that kind of stuff. And we're also seeing, most troublingly, not that we want to rank these things in any particular order, but we're also seeing, we looked at the prevalence of various extremist disinformation and other kinds of conspiracy theories in online games. And we found that 23% of players were exposed to conversations about white supremacy. So specifically, we asked them, you know, have you experienced or been engaged in conversation about the superiority of whites or, and the inferiority of non-whites, which is a pretty classic white supremacist message. And we found that 23%, almost a quarter of players, were exposed to those kind of conversations, in addition to being targeted because of their identity. And this has real impact on their lives. People responded that they, you know, 5% of people responded saying that they called the police because of an incident in an online game. People are making changes to their physical safety as a result of these things. Some people are becoming less social, or it's impacting personal relationships or their school performance. So this is not ephemeral. This is having real impact on people. And the other thing that you should know, the gaming industry should take note of, is that 19% of respondents just said that they quit a game because of harassment. So it has impact on these individuals, and if that's not enough for the gaming industry to take action, it has impact on their bottom line, in the sense that people are, you know, choosing to disassociate themselves with certain communities because of harassment they experienced.
You use the term doxing, which my understanding is that is revealing someone's real name and information about them. Why is that a big deal?
Sure. So someone can take, 29% of our respondents said that they had experienced doxing, which is incredibly high. And why this is important is that people can take your personal information, whether that's your name, your birth date, your place of business, and they can take the harassment that they are, you know, that you're experiencing, and have it exist outside of the game environment or the online environment. We've heard stories of people showing up at people's places of employment, right? We've heard stories of people who their addresses are put out there, and people, there's something called swatting, where people call the police department and a SWAT team shows up at your house, right? These are the kinds of things that are, you know, in the very severe sort of category, but can be a result of doxing.
Daniel Kelly is the Associate Director of the Center for Technology and Society at the Anti-Defamation League. We're talking with him about online harassment of people who are gaming. And briefly, Daniel, if you can explain for people who might not have ever taken part in one of these online gaming platforms, how are you interacting with other people?
Sure. So there's usually kind of two different modes of interaction. One of which is a sort of scrolling game chat where people can type in messages and respond to people who are in the same game environment as them. The other is in voice chat. So many games have a sort of microphone component where you're actually able to speak and hear the voices of other people who are participating in the game. Now, like Twitter, like Facebook, there are well-trod mechanisms to flag hate speech and other kinds of harassment and that kind of behavior in text chat, like in the chat box that I mentioned. But the level of tools and ability of companies to do content moderation, which is what this is in voice chat, is extremely rudimentary and limited. And our study found that there was an equal amount of harassment in voice chat and text chat. So the fact that there isn't content moderation in these voice chat spaces is really alarming.
Tyler on Facebook wrote, "Racism is alive and well in online gaming. Racist names are considered amusing by lowbrow gamers. You'll regularly have some guy in voice-enabled games screaming the N-word repeatedly. In shooter games, sometimes when you kill someone, they'll get so mad, they'll go off on a racist or anti-Muslim rant. It's pretty sad." Mm-hmm. Daniel, that sounds like exactly what you were talking about.
Absolutely. No, this is something that is, you know, the prevalence of this and the prevalence of it specifically being targeted against people because of their identity is something that we hear time and again in our conversations with people who are players in the struggles that the game industry, in our conversation with the game industry, that this is a very real problem, and it impacts people significantly.
Are there particular types of games that you are seeing more of this harassment happening? Is there something about the types of games that brings particular players to it, perhaps?
Sure. So, you know, there, going into the study, we kind of imagined that we would see harassment being more prevalent in, for example, online shooters, which, you know, first person and third person shooters, which get blamed for everything, right? But I think we looked at 15 games that were, you know, spanned the gamut from first-person, third-person shooters to more like strategy games or card games or sports games. No game had less than 50% of respondents say that they had experienced harassment. So at least 50% of people who responded saying they played a certain game experienced harassment in that game. We are seeing, you know, in the sort of top five of the games, Dota 2, which is a what they call a MOBA, a massively online battle arena, as well as Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Overwatch, Player Unknown Battlegrounds, which are all forms of shooters, and then League of Legends, which is also a MOBA as well. So we are seeing, you know, that there is the higher end is these shooters or strategy games. But again, across the board, we are seeing at least 50% of folks experiencing harassment, regardless of the game type.
It's true, though, also that a lot of people find community and make friends through mm-hmm. these platforms. So what kind of advice would you give to people who are either currently gaming or thinking of gaming to get the good out of it and at least maybe minimize the bad?
Sure. So I guess I wouldn't put the I would put the onus first on, you know, I think there are certainly things that players can do to mitigate these things. And, you know, like, but that shouldn't be the, I don't think that should be the focus of our intention. The focus of our attention should really be to make, to ensure that game companies and civil society organizations like the ADL and others are really working towards making it so that these environments, so that players aren't forced to find ways to mitigate problems that are inherent in the design, such as not having content moderation in voice chat. You know, like the ESRB is the rating system for games, right? But right now they rate games based on the content of the game itself. So does it have nudity? Does it have graphic violence, right? But there isn't any sort of rating system that takes into account the nature of an online community. And that's something that really we need to have in order for players to be able to make informed decisions about the kinds of games that they play.
And very briefly, is there a role for policymakers in this as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there are, we found overwhelmingly that, or at least the majority of players, support more protections for people who are targets of cyber harassment. And so that's definitely a role where policymakers could have an influence and could make a difference.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Daniel Kelly is the Associate Director of the Center for Technology and Society at the Anti-Defamation League. He joined us to talk about the group's new report on the social interactions and experiences of online video game players and the harassment and hate that many players often experience. And you can share your experiences and your thoughts on this topic over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you're a gamer, does this ring true to you? Have you been the subject of harassment, or have you seen others deal with harassment? Have you heard hate speech? Have you been exposed to these? And has it made you reconsider whether you want to continue playing these games or not? You can share your experiences over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.